smiles in town hall tonight, folks, to make your Merry Christmas merrier. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Salopatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty, Salopatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian Fred Allen and his mighty Allen Art players. Music with Peter Van Steeden, the Ipana Troubadours, and the Town Hall Quartet. And another group of anxious and eager amateurs. New voices, new music, new fun. It's Town Hall tonight. Yes, sir, listen to that crowd cheering Fred Allen as he heads his weekly parade to the old Town Hall. Fred and the band are carrying the Christmas tree, and the mighty Allen Art players are disguised as reindeer. Let's join the merry throng. Everybody's going. Here they come, married couple.
Well, I suppose you're home for an evening of boondoggling out here.
Yes, I always boondoggle away an hour on Wednesdays, Lulu, at Town Hall tonight.
Hunters.
Where's your gun, Pa? You said we was going hunting.
I meant hunting on the radio dial, son. It's Town Hall tonight.
International diplomat.
Are you in favor of sanctions on oil and arms, Senator?
I favor exempting only one thing from sanctions, madam. It's Town Hall tonight.
Well, there's the old Town Hall across the way, folks, and there's Fred joking with the crowd. Listen.
I hold the dairy, oh, the farmer's in the well. But everybody else is at the Town Hall tonight, folks. So take off your rubbers and go right in, if you'll kindly
walk.
Hello there, Luther. Going in to enjoy the show?
No, I'm going in to get my gum. I left it on my feet last week.
You won't find it, son. I took it home on the seat of my trousers after the show. Here's a fresh stick for you.
Thanks, Luther Allen.
That's right in, folks. Good evening, Mrs. Doe.
Good evening, Miss Allen. You like my new fur coat?
Oh, it's a Lollapalooza, Mrs. Doe. What sort of fur is it?
Well, it must be hyena. I always hear laughing when I got it on.
Go right in, Mrs. Doe. He who laughs last wears a flannel nightgown to bed. Hurry, hurry, hurry,
and
hurry.
We're all set
folks.
For the opening, Fred.
Okay, Harry. We're starting the show with Don't Give Up the Ship.
Okay, let her go, Peter. Presenting that macrological mammoth of magnificent merriment and mad mumbo-jumbo, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you. Thank you. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before letting the air out of the spare tire of fun we've blown up for you this evening, I'll read you the Town Hall bulletin for tonight. Hodge White, manager at the GAR Hall, announces that he's showing a special holiday feature picture, The Tale of Two Cities, Wednesday and Thursday night. Now, Hart says the hall's pretty small for such a big picture, so on Wednesday night, he'll show The Tale of One City, and The Tale of the Other City will be shown on Thursday evening. So much for Dickens in our community, and now for the Town Hall news. Say, Harry.
Yes, Fred.
When ghosts go to bed, what's the last thing they do?
Oh, I know. They drop their sheets, Fred. I get it. I'll drop your picture sheet.
Thank you. When the 6 months of night are over, what does the Eskimo do, Harry?
He turns out the light.
Really?
Here they go.
The projector starts, and we bring you the latest news of the week.
The Town Hall News sees nothing, shows all. Boston, Massachusetts. Postmaster Peter F. Tagg sets precedent and authorizes employment of 150 women to help speed Christmas mail. Town Hall News sensing difficulties shows what may happen if women letter carriers handle the mail. The scene, the postwoman at any front door.
Mrs. Sloppy! Yoo-hoo! Mrs. Sloppy!
Yes, who is it?
The postwoman, Mrs. Sloppy!
drop your letters in your old mailbag and hide it tight.
What is it, mail girl? A letter?
No, it's a postcard. Guess who it's from?
The Book of the Month Club?
No.
My cousin in New Rochelle.
No, but you're warmer.
I give up. Who said it?
Your Aunt Minnie in Akron. Here.
Oh, dear Aunt Minnie.
Yes. She's been having an awful time of it, according to the card. Her oldest boy's got mumps again, her husband's varicose veins are back, and her mother's down with rickets.
Anything else?
No, but I do wish your aunt would write plainer. I've had an awful time reading your mail lately.
Oh, I'll tell her.
Lord, I've got so many postcards today, I couldn't read them all. Had to scan most of them.
Anything startling in the neighborhood?
Startling? Why, my bag's so full of dirt, I feel like a vacuum cleaner.
Who are these other cards for? Mind if I look?
Oh, no. This one's for Mrs. Levy from the finance company. She owes two more payments on her appendix operation.
Look at this for Widow Green.
Oh, what is it?
From the Cupid Marriage Bureau. It says, we found you a husband, 80 years old. Has $2 million and 1 foot in the grave.
Give me that card and take this mail sack. I'm swapping places with Widow Green.
You mean she's the new postwoman?
Oh, yes. I'm marrying that guy, and Widow Green is holding the bag.
Washington, D.C. Executive Director of Federal Theater Project moves to ban all amateurs and others who misrepresent their theatrical experience from government shows. Town Hall News shows how government agents will ferret out amateurs at theaters. The scene, Project Play number 23, the first act of Gaffney's Dilemma.
There's a gentleman without, madam.
Without what, Meadows?
Without much time, madam.
Then rush him in, Meadows.
Very well, madam. Right this way, sir.
Thank you, Meadows.
Gaffney Davenport.
Gwendolyn Scrovner.
Oh, but you mustn't kiss me, Gaffney. I'm married now.
Married, Gwen? You promised to wait for me.
Ah, little did I know when you went away as a chorus boy at Blossom Time that the show would run 20 years.
Yes, I've worked my way up, Gwen. Chorus boy, juvenile, leading man. Until now, I'm the company manager.
My Prince Charming.
Blossom Time plays Schenectady tonight. I've stolen the receipts. Come, fly with me. We'll elope.
The pound of hair.
My husband.
Yes, Fanfare Tate Pluto, your husband. And if this guy's waiting for a streetcar, tell him to get in the closet.
But I love Gwendolyn, Mr. Pluto.
Yes, Fanfare. Gaffney and I were childhood sweethearts.
I may be only a wealthy pawnbroker, but I'm still your husband.
Let me buy Gwendolyn's freedom.
Will you sell my love, Fanfare?
I'm a pawnbroker. I'll sell anything.
Then here. Here, I've stolen the Blossom Time receipts that's connected you tonight. Take this money. This money.
What money?
Well, that's funny. I stole the money. I must have forgotten to bring it with me.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Stop the show. I thought so, Davenport. You're no actor.
Who are you?
McGee from the Home Office. Federal Theater Projects. You're listed here as an actor.
Well, I...
I thought he was acting very well, Mr. McGee.
Yeah, but no actor would forget money, even in a play. Come clean, Gaffney. There's only one business where a man is trained to forget.
You're right, McGee. I'm a plumber.
I thought so. You're in the wrong project, Gaffney. Boulder Dam is two blocks over.
New York City, New York. Mayor LaGuardia strikes dramatic blow at market racketeers through issuing proclamation that forbids the sale, display, or possession of artichokes in New York City. Town Hall News shows what New York home life may be like if G-men enforce artichoke prohibition. The scene, a dining room in any New York home in the near future.
Is chow ready, Ma?
Yes, sit in, Roscoe. Soon as your pa's washed, we'll eat.
What's for dinner, Ma?
Shh, Roscoe, it's a secret.
Oh, I know, it's artichoke.
Land's sakes, don't mention that word so loud. You want us all arrested?
Dinner ready, May?
Yes, sit in, Herman.
Did you cook the you-know-what?
Yes, I've got it hidden.
Ah, pig knuckles and sauerkraut.
Where's the artichoke?
Quiet, Roscoe. Artichokes are against the law in New York.
I saw a paw coming out of a chokeezy yesterday, Ma.
Herman.
I couldn't help it, May. It was after a director's meeting. The boss was dying for an artichoke. I had to go in.
Lord, taking those chances.
Yes, I
hope nobody's seen you buying that one today, Herman.
Don't worry. I got mine from a choke legger. He's running them over from Jersey City.
When do we eat it, Ma.
Not so loud, Roscoe.
Open it in the name of the law.
Oh, Herman, it's the cop.
Just act natural, May. I'll open the door.
Harmon Slough?
Yes?
I'm from headquarters. We got a tip you got an artichoke on the premises.
No, he ain't, officer.
There must be some mistake, officer.
There ain't no mistake. Your garbage man turned stool pigeon. He found artichoke leaves in your swill 2 mornings running.
There's no artichoke here, officer.
What's this on the table?
Pig knuckles and sauerkraut.
And what's this melted butter doing here?
Well,
and what's under this sauerkraut? Let me see.
Oh, what is it, Mark?
I thought so, an artichoke. You'll get life for this.
North Pole, flash. Rush to you by plane, dog sled, and carrier penguin. Town Hall News brings you the first pictures of Santa Claus leaving the pole last night.
Whoa, hold on there. Whoa, listen. Wait till I get the sleigh, boys. Then we start. Now we're ready.
Wait a minute, Santa Claus. Aren't you going to pick me?
Who are you?
I'm the little doll you promised Mary Smith of being a good little girl.
Why, that's right, so I did. Well, come on, hop in.
Santa, aren't you gonna take me?
Who are you?
I'm the jack-in-the-box you promised Teddy Green. It'll make him feel awfully good if you take me.
Oh, sure, I remember now. I don't know what's the matter with me today, anyhow. I'm forgetting things. Just don't feel my old jolly self at all.
Then you better take us, Santa Claus.
What?
We'll make you feel awfully good.
Why, who are you?
2 teaspoonfuls of Salopatica.
Peter Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours playing the new League of Nations theme song, Anything Can Happen. And now I've been asked to make a sub-Rosa Bowl announcement, ladies and gentlemen. On Friday night, here at the hall, Professor Tingle, the eminent butterfly lover, will lecture on the butterfly and the New Deal. Professor Tingle has been pursuing the butterfly for many years, and as Mrs. Tingle says so lovingly, even though he's over 60, the professor is still a chaser.
Mr. Owl!
Quiet, please. If that's some auctioneer warming up, you'll never know what's been knocked down if I come down there.
Hello?
Well, sir, as I live and try not to scratch my head in public so that people won't think I've got a bone to pick with myself... If it isn't Portland.
Yes, I was trying to find a word to rhyme with Yule, and when I did, it made me think of you, so I came over.
Why, Yule, I get it. A Yule they was, eh? Why are you limping? Has gout set in after your Christmas dinner?
No, my foot hurts. I got dressed in a hurry this morning. I think one of my presents is still in my stocking.
You? Well, there's nothing in your hat. That ought to sort of even things up.
Oh, you're always trying to belittle me mentally. It's like Shakespeare said, much ado about nothing.
There's a show in New York that fits your mentality much better. It's called Dead End.
You'll be surprised if I grow up to be a school teacher someday.
Yes, I will. You have to pass an examination to teach school.
Not anymore. It isn't what you know these days, just as long as you're not too fat. I don't have to study. I can diet.
But dieting is dangerous, isn't it?
Papa took off 20 pounds and it didn't hurt him.
Really? What diet did he use?
Oh, he did
didn't dye it on purpose. Mama lost our can opener.
I get it. Have you ever seen one of those newfangled Hollywood diets?
I'll say. I heard about a swell one. A woman lost 50 pounds in a week.
50 pounds in a week? What did she do? Divorce a midget?
No, the diet simply...
A little bit independent in your walk, a little bit independent in your thought. There's nothing like you in Paris or New York. You're awfully easy on the eye. A little bit independent when we dance. A little bit independent towards romance. A little sophistication in your glance. And yet you're easy on the eye. Whenever I'm with you alone, you weave a magic spell. And though it's feeling is known, I only know the truth well. A little bit independent with your smile. A little bit independent in your style. But how can I help but love you all the while? When there's one in the army.
Back in Town Hall, folks, and that was A Little Bit Independent, played by Peter Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours and sung by the Town Hall Quartet. Now here comes Fred, followed out on the stage by his gang of anxious amateurs ready to compete in tonight's amateur contest. Let's give them a real Town Hall reception.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we greet another group of stars to be or not to be, here to compete for our first prize of $50 and a week's engagement at the Roxy Theater in New York City, and a second prize of $25 in cash. The winners will be chosen by you folks here in the town hall. Your applause will be recorded on the Johns Manville applause meter here on the stage, and the three acts receiving the highest ratings will be called back later so that you can give the matter serious thought and select your final winners. Now, first tonight, we are happy to welcome Mr. Harry Von Zell. Say, what is this? Have I got the wrong card here?
No, that's right, Fred. I want to sing.
Well, you can't sing in the amateur contest, Harry, or a professional.
Oh, well, no, I'm not a professional singer, Fred.
That's right.
See, I thought maybe this would be a good chance to find out if there's any reason why I shouldn't be.
Well, you can't just bust in here, Harry. You know, you have to audition for Uncle Jim Hawkins. There's a little routine. You just can't come. But if the audience will stand for it, I don't know why I should stop you. But wait a minute, Harry. Suppose you win one of the prizes.
Oh, well, if I win a prize, I won't take it, Fred. I don't want a prize. I just want to sing.
Well, when you've got to sing, you've got to sing, haven't you?
Yes, I...
Well, what's your number?
The Cowboy's Lament. I bet you've never heard it sung like this before either, Fred.
Well, I... Hey, wait a minute. Don't you pull... Wait a minute. You pulled a hillbilly on me here. Who's this man with the guitar?
Well,
I won't argue with you, Harry. You go right ahead. Stand over there, and I'll stand over here near the gong. You ready?
I see. All right.
All right.
As I walk out on the streets of Laredo, as I walk out in Laredo one day, I spied a poor cowboy wrapped up in white linen, wrapped up in white linen at stake. But when I accused him of using six aces, 'twas then I made one of life's biggest mistakes. Kowitz, he jumped up and yelled, "Smile when you say that, no half-sickly grin now, but smile ear to ear." I did, but my teeth were so stained and discolored, my smile was so dull that it looked like a sneer. Kowitz, he sneered back, then he drew his revolver, a 44 slug tore its way through the night. Too late I remembered, if I'd used Ipana, my teeth would have been clean and my smile would have been bright. So beat the drum slowly and play the fife lowly, and over my grave put these words on a wreath: don't be like the cowboy, but just use Ipana. If used with massage, you'll have sound gums and teeth.
How do you like that?
Thank you. Thank you, Harry. Thank you very much. I just want to tell you, if you're going to start to sing on this program, I'm going to have Mr. Crosley put a new basement on the radar. Because I'll sing here next week, and then the trouble will stop. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we'll have to get Jimmy Melton here some night to square that solo, I'm afraid. And now it is my pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to have you meet the four knights, starting our regular part of the program, the four knights of melody from Harlem. Is that right, boys?
That's right, Sal.
Are you the manager?
They call me the manager.
Oh, who does?
The boys.
Oh, well, as long as it's established in the quartet, no, none of us will dispute it. My name is Alan, and I'm very happy to meet you.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Alan.
What's your name?
My name's Clyde.
Clyde. Very glad to know you, Clyde. You're the manager of the quartet?
That's right. Clyde.
All the boys, New York boys?
Well, one's a New York boy.
One and the other three from out of town, huh?
Well, down Dixie way.
Oh, down Dixie way. Well, the singing should be good, then. And as a matter of fact, after a certain song that was sung here tonight, almost any singing, I imagine. I often wondered how quartets got together. I know it's simple to get a fourth for bridge, but there you are, one fella, wanting to get three for a quartet. How do you go about that?
You always manage to get two.
Always get two, then you have a trio.
Then you have a,
then you have a
duet.
A duet, that's right.
Then you have to hustle around, get the third one.
The third one.
You'll keep two, and maybe sometimes the fourth one. But very seldom.
You're always sure to die with a trio on your hands, in other words. Okay. What are you going to sing, boys?
We like to sing Kentucky Babe.
Kentucky Babe. Thank you very much. Go ahead.
Sweet as I'm humming on the honeysuckle vine.
Kentucky Babe.
Sandman, I'm coming to this little coon of mine.
Kentucky Bay. Silver moon is shining in the heaven up above. All the Lincoln pining for his little lady now. You is mighty lucky, babe of old Kentucky. Close your eyes and see. Fly away, Kentucky babe, fly away to rest. Fly away, lay your pinky woolly head on your mammy's breast. Close your eyes.
Thank you very much. Those are the four knights of melody, ladies and gentlemen, singing Kentucky Babe. And now it is my pleasure, if you're out of stand on this side or the other side.
Same
material, huh? You can't, there are only two sides to a microphone. You see, you have to just settle the argument right away. It is my pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to have you meet a young man whose voice you have heard in the offing here just a second ago, but whose name you haven't caught up with us yet. Frank Small of New York City. Is that right?
I'm from Massachusetts.
Oh, are you really? From
Massachusetts?
Massachusetts.
Yes, sir.
I live in Massachusetts. A part of the time in Boston. Where do you live?
Worcester.
In Worcester, Massachusetts, do
yes,
you?
Sir.
Well, that's fine. That's a very fine city. I've been there many times. Worcester, incidentally, is the home of a number of famous people. I mean, pending the time, until the time arrives when you get famous, Frank. Eli Whitney, let me see, Edward Everett Hale. They were both born in Worcester, weren't they? Can you check on that, or am I just...
Here we are.
Well, and Clara Burton was also born in Worcester. Did you ever hear of Clara Burton?
No.
Clara Burton founded the Red Cross, I believe, around the Civil War time. She also was born in or near Worcester. You never heard of her, huh?
No.
Well, did you ever hear of Fanny Farmer?
No.
Didn't you? You never heard of Fanny Farmer?
No, sir.
The lady from also lived up Boston way who wrote the cookbook, a famous authority on cooking years ago. Everyone knows Fanny Farmer, and very few people know Clara Burton. So the moral is, if you want to go down in history, don't start another Red Cross. Just get down and write another cookbook, and you'll be famous for years to come. And what are you going to play on your accordion?
Can I say something to my mother?
Why, certainly. Is your mother listening?
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
That's yes. To Mrs. Small. Where does she live?
In Worcester.
In Worcester? I know, but you just can't live all over Worcester.
In Washington Street.
Oh, on Washington Street. That was to Mrs. Small. A Merry Christmas from your boy, Frank, and from me, too, Mrs. Small. I worked amateur nights in Worcester years ago. You know the old pole eyes up on Elm Street?
Yes, sir.
Up the hill?
Yes.
Wintertime, it was slippery Elm Street, trying to get up there. Well, you go right ahead. What are you going to play, Frank?
I'm going to imitate the street singer. That's all I'm going to do.
You're going to imitate the street singer. Thank you.
Little trembling rose of the wild rose, with your fragrance divine, mortal, when I look for your love light, I awake with a sigh, and I find you are gone.
Frank Small of Worcester, Massachusetts. And very nice, too, Mrs. Small. And now, ladies and gentlemen, kindly meet Miss Peggy Dunn from the Bronx. Is that right, Peggy?
That's right, Mr.
I saw you couldn't sing last week. You were here and had a cold, didn't you?
Yes,
you called all better?
Well, partly.
Is it? Peggy Dunn, huh? You're not related to Jimmy Dunn, are you?
No.
Irene Dunn?
No.
That Dunn of Dunn and Bradstreet, you're related to Not related? You're just Peggy, huh?
Just Peggy.
Just Peggy, as in Hopkins George, huh? And you live in the Bronx, and you sing the blues, huh?
Yes, Mr. L.
Not because you live in the Bronx.
No, Mr. L.
You don't sing the blues. Just force of habit, is it?
Yes, Mr.
What would you like to sing tonight?
I got a feeling you're fooling.
Very, very good. I've got a feeling you're fooling. Thank you.
I got a feeling you're fooling. I've got a feeling you haven't fun. I'll get a go by when you are done fooling with me. I've got a feeling you're fooling. I've got a notion it's make believe. I think you're laughing right up your sleeve, fooling around with me. Life is worth living while you are giving moments of paradise. You're such a stand up with that high hand out that helps focus from your eyes. I got a feeling you're fooling. I got a feeling it's all a fun. It's just a well and all fooling game, fooling with me.
Thank you. That was Miss Peggy Dunn from the Bronx. Thank you very much, Peggy. That was excellent. And now, ladies and gentlemen. You see, you thought there wasn't one, so we showed you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to have me have you meet Mr. Ambrose Smith from New York City. Mr. Smith has arrived at the microphone here, clad in a typical orthodox Santa Claus outfit. Yes, sir, right from O'Sullivan rubber heel right up to the whiskers. Those aren't your street clothes, are they, Mr. Smith? And that is the Santa Claus outfit.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Smith, ladies and gentlemen, is a professional Santa Claus.
Right.
Am I right?
Right, you are, yes.
I guess that doesn't bar you from competing in an amateur contest, as long as you don't do any professional clausing around here. Professional clausing around here. Professional clausing around. have you been working in one of the department stores this winter? The department stores this winter?
Yes, sir.
You're all kind of...
Yes, sir.
You're all kind of...
I figure I'm taking a shave about 12 o'clock tonight.
About getting rid of that that undergrowth there?
Yes.
I often wondered what became of Santa Clauses in the summertime. What do Santa Clauses do? What, for instance, now you can't go around clausing until next Christmas. Have you got a sideline or anything?
I'm a plumber.
Oh, you are?
Well, that's sort of confusing, isn't it? The plumbing season and the Santa Claus season both come in the winter. I guess it takes a bit of doing to combine.
Well, but I do most of my plumbing down south.
Or most of the plumbing in the south. Well, that, I guess the season is open all year on plumbing down south. I'm not sure. I always wanted to talk to a professional Santa Claus. Does it work hard?
Well, I'll say one thing. That at least I make many, many boys and girls happy.
Make the little children happy.
The little children happy. Of course, I get some very dirty remarks from some of the dirty children.
You mean if you promise a boy an automobile or something this year and he winds up with a pop gun in his stocking, that the next year he's laid for you? Huh? Well, I should think the thing would be to keep away. You don't go back to the same department store the next year.
No, but they don't know the difference. As many as Santa Claus got hurt through that same thing as you spoke about.
Oh, I see.
Hit with the tomatoes in a can.
Well, it wouldn't show a tomato on a Santa Claus outfit, after all. And you also play the saxophone, Mr. Smith, in your spare time?
We have a club. I belong to a club.
Oh, Santa Claus Club?
Santa Claus Club.
Still, huh?
Next year, we're going to have a union.
You're going to have a Santa Claus? A fine thing. You can look out on your roof next year, and a union Santa Claus will be picketing your chimney. That's the whole thing. Well, all right. You can get the saxophone in through your whiskers there, all right, can't you?
I got them here.
All right. What are you going to play?
Oh, little Jingle Bells and another little song.
A sort of a Christmas medley. All right. Go right ahead.
Thank you.
Professional Santa Claus, but an amateur saxophonist. Thank you very much. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to present Edward Seabold. Is that right, Mr. Seabold?
That's right.
And you are a baritone singer.
Yes, sir.
Have you studied voice?
Yes, I have.
You have, huh? And what would you like to sing tonight?
Well, I'd like to sing Tell Me That You Love Me.
Tell Me That You Love Me. All right. Thank you very much.
That you love me tonight, fill my heart with endless delight. Your love to me means everything, but happiness only you can bring. Night would be forever ideal if I could be sure this is real. While in my arms I hold you tight, tell me that you love me tonight.
Thank you. That was Edward Seabold. Thank you very much. And now, ladies and gentlemen, from Troy, New York, comes Peter... how do you pronounce your name, Peter?
Mesrobian.
Peter Mesrobian from Troy, New York. How did you come down? Drive down?
I came down by train.
Came down by train, did you? Weren't your folks, didn't they object you leaving the house on Christmas Day to come down to play on the program?
Well, I had a very good companion.
Oh, you had a good companion. You're very fortunate. I thought perhaps with the violin they were ensured of a happy Christmas through having you out of the house coming down. Troy is a famous city, though, isn't it? The home of all the shirts and collars originally.
Yes.
You know something? Troy has a lot to answer for. If the first man who invented the shirt and collar only had brains enough to sew the collar onto the shirt in the first place, many men wouldn't be giving the best years of their life looking around under bureaus and things for collar buttons these days. But you are a violinist, and what would you like to play?
My own arrangement of When a Gypsy Makes His Violin Cry.
When a Gypsy Makes His Violin Cry, and your own arrangement. Thank you. Thank you very much, Peter. And that concludes tonight's contest, ladies and gentlemen. And now for my Christmas present. I think you've been listening to us so long, I'm going to give you for Christmas 10 seconds of absolute silence on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, starting now. Thank you very much. The 10 seconds of silence comes with a Merry Christmas from Fred Allen, and thank you very much. And now, while I the returns here from the applause machine, Harry.
You got the right here, Fred.
Oh, thank you very much. My left hand doesn't know what's going on in my right hand here. Ladies and gentlemen, the applause meter divulges that your applause has been heaviest for the following ads: Frank Small, The Knights of Harmony, and Peter Mesrobian. Now, I'm going to ask Harry to hold his favorite hitchhiking thumb over the heads of these boys and girls, and as I call the names, you may applaud once again to your winners. Are you ready, Harry?
All ready, Fred.
Now, first is the boy who played the accordion, who came from Worcester, Massachusetts, and played his accordion so well, Frank Small. From Harlem, the four boys who sang Sleep Kentucky Babe so well, the Four Knights of Melody. And then from Troy, New York, the violinist who played When a Gypsy Makes His Violin Cry, Master Peter Mesrobian. Thank you. And what does the machine say, Harry?
All right,
here you are.
Thank you. The first prize, $50 in cash and a week's engagement at the Roxy Theater in New York City, goes to Peter Messerobia, the boy violin. The second prize, $25 in cash, goes to Frank Small, the accordion player from Worcester, Massachusetts. I'm sorry that everyone couldn't win, but better luck next time, and thank you all for coming. This is Fred Allen saying goodnight, ladies and gentlemen. And don't forget that the town hall doors will be open wide to greet you next Wednesday night with another hour of smiles. Join us with Portland, the Mighty Allen R Players, the Itana Troubadours, the Town Hall Quartet, and another group of amateurs. This is Fred spelled Itana, Allen spelled Sal Hepatica, saying goodnight.
Selection Anything Can Happen performed on this program is from the Scandal. This is the National Broadcasting Company.